Morning, everybody. It's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you this morning to our midweek video here. It is Thursday morning, April 6th. And those of you who are following the channel, you'll know that I did not make a video last week because I was out of town with my family on vacation and for spring break. So we did not take time to from the vacation trip to set aside time to make a video. So appreciate everybody tuning in. If you haven't already done so, I want to welcome you to our channel and ask you, if you would, to subscribe and ring the alarm bell as a way of staying current with the ministry. And we create content here for you midweek, as well as when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday mornings. We would certainly appreciate having you as a part, normal part of our audience. Also want to remind you, it is Easter this coming Sunday. My book, Don't Pass Over Easter, A New Defense of Easter in Acts 12:4, is still on sale, and you can still buy it direct from the publisher, Dispensational Publishing House, at a reduced price from now through Easter. So if you're interested in obtaining this book, you can still do so between now and Easter at a reduced rate. This book defends the reading of Easter in Acts 12:4 in the King James Bible, albeit from a slightly different standpoint maybe than has historically been the case. So please consider picking up a copy of that as a way of supporting the ministry. We would certainly appreciate that. Also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt-tech site should something happen to our YouTube ministry. So if you're into alt-tech sites or would like an alternative to YouTube, please consider joining us here on Rumble as well. So what I want to talk about in this video is I want to offer some, I guess, further follow-up to my interview with Brother Dwayne Green. And my interview with him has created somewhat of a bit of controversy, I suppose, amongst some people regarding some of the things that I said. And I've already made two videos to follow up to this interview. I'll leave the links to both of those videos in the description underneath this one. And one of the things I want to address in this video is just simply giving a few further thoughts about why I do not use or support the New King James Version as a Textus Receptus translation replacement to the King James. I did address a few reasons why in my part two of my follow-up. And those were primarily focused on Galatians 2:7 and Galatians 2:16, and some of the readings of those passages in the New King James Bible, and why I have take exception with those readings, because I do think they are substantively different. Okay, I address that video here again. Those verses are Galatians 2:7, but contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. If we just switch over. So there's in the King James, there's two distinct gospels in that verse. There's the gospel of the uncircumcision committed to Paul, and the gospel of circumcision committed unto Peter. Well, the New King James, along with the other modern versions, the New King James with the other modern versions make a change in that verse that alters that and has Peter and Paul preaching the same gospel just to different audiences. Okay. And apparently I'm having trouble with my tech. It's not cooperating with me the way that I want it to on switching that up for you. Okay. And then the other one is in Galatians 2:16 that I addressed, related to the faith of Jesus Christ, knowing the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What the New King James does in this verse, along with other modern versions, is it takes out or switches faith of Jesus Christ to faith in Jesus Christ. And I have other videos on the channel here where I get into more detail about the grammar in this passage and why I think that's a problem. But those were two issues that I addressed related to why I don't use the New King James Bible or advocate for the New King James Bible in my part to follow up here to Brother Green. Not to Brother Green, with Brother Green. Now, Brother Green does use and promote the New King James Bible. All right. So when I was a guest on his channel and he asked me about that, I know that about Brother Green, and I was trying to be respectful and deferential to the host in that regard. And I was trying to not be a rude guest primarily. But let's just listen to what I said, and then I'm going to offer a couple more comments. So this is part two of the interview. This is around the 10-minute mark, and he asks me about revision of the King James, and then I bring up the New King James, and I say that I am not convinced that the New King James is a replacement or an update to the King James.
Version. If we come back to that, do you think that the King James Version could be revised today to something a little bit more modern, a little bit easier to digest?
Oh, see, now you here you go again. You're
gonna
get me in trouble.
Yeah, I know I'm going to get you in trouble.
Do I think it can be? Yes, I think it can be.
So that is a statement in principle, okay? That is a statement in principle. The fact is that when I read a standard 1769 King James text, there have been some revisions made to the text. Now, I don't want to get into there, that is a deep subject. It's way deeper than I have time to cover in this particular video, but that's a fact. So in principle, in order to maintain an element of logical consistency, I have to acknowledge a principle that exists here, okay? That does not mean that I'm calling for it. That does not mean that I want it, that I necessarily desire it. I don't know who would do it. I don't know how it would be done in a way that would be acceptable to the body of Christ. And I think that it is a better option to just use any tools that are available dictionary-wise or otherwise for those who would struggle with some of the wording. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? Now, I know that there are some that don't like the use of dictionaries, et cetera. That's their decision. That's their belief. That I'm not ridiculing that. I'm just saying I, in principle, have to acknowledge what could happen, but that does not mean I'm calling for it to happen. And then I say next about the New King James.
Do I think the New King James is that? I don't know. I have some doubts.
Okay.
But I will be fully honest and transparent. My studies so far have not taken me into an in-depth, exhaustive study of the New King James. I cannot, in good conscience and in good faith, say yes to something that I haven't looked into with any level of depth. But
so there you have what I said. Again, Brother Green uses and advocates for the New King James. He's not a critical text guy, but he has fallen on the position that he believes the New King James is the Bible he should be using and the Bible he uses in his church. And while I wouldn't do that in my church and I don't do that in my church, I was trying to be deferential there and polite to the host. And people have erupted over what I said about, I'm not convinced that the New King James is a replacement to the King James. Let me be clear. I don't and have not studied the New King James. I tried to be clear about that here in part two that I have up here on the screen. So I don't know. I have read stuff about what people have said about the King James or about the New King James, but I haven't studied it to the level of depth. Like I said in that video with Brother Green and like I said in the follow-up video, okay, I'm not going to say anything about something that I just have not looked at myself. But what I am willing to say, and what I said in video number two, part two of the follow-up, as well as in this video, is in the places where I have looked at the New King James, which are relatively few because I just haven't read it, I have observed things that alarm me personally, and would say that I don't currently and would not recommend it because I find the changes to be substantive or of the nature of that I just, why would you make this change if you really are simply just updating the King James? So in other words, I don't find the New King James to simply be an update of the King James. I view it as a new translation. Okay. I don't just view it as an update of the King James. Now, let me just give a couple more examples that I have observed. The biggest one for me is 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Notice are saved is in the past tense, people who are saved. Now, you don't need to write me. I understand the difference between justification, sanctification, and glorification. I understand the difference between salvation from the penalty of sin, the presence of sin, all those theological concepts I get. Paul, in this context, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is talking about justification. Okay, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring in nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So if you believe the gospel, if you believe the preaching of the cross, if you believe the shed blood of Christ for you on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, you are saved. You aren't, as the New King James says, being saved. See, what the New King James does is it makes a process out of what the King James says is a past accomplished fact for those who have trusted the finished work of Christ. So, yes, I have a problem with that, and I don't view that as just a different way of saying the same thing. I view that as a substantive difference in meaning. Okay? So, that's just another example that I'll add to the two that I gave in my previous video here, part two in my follow-up to Brother Green, that I look at it and I say, well, you know, why make this change if the New King James is simply just an update of the King James? It's obviously doing more things than just simply taking the TR and offering a fresh translation of it like it claims to, or many of the advocates of the New King James are advocating for. And let me just also add, I mean, to say being saved is completely out of step with the understanding of every Reformation era English translation. Here's William Tyndale: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Coverdale, we can switch to Coverdale here, assuming my tech will cooperate. For the word of the cross is foolishness to the that perish, so a little awkward wording there, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So are saved has been the historic Protestant reading, clearly indicating that those who trust the preaching of the cross, the message of the cross, are saved. All right, we could go to Matthew's 15:37. We could look at Matthew's: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The Great Bible, 15:39. Let's look at that: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So, are saved has been the historic Protestant reading and understanding of this passage since the time of William Tyndale. All right, Geneva Bible. We can look at the Geneva Bible: for the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Bishop's Bible, which is the base text for the King James, according to Rule 1, given by Bishop Bancroft: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So we have a consistent translational history on this verse, which renders it are saved. Okay. And even the Douay Rheims from 1583, if my memory's not mistaken: for the word of the cross is to them indeed that perish, to them indeed that perish is foolishness, but unto them that are saved, it is the power of God. So when I look at the New King James and I see a switch to and be are being saved, and I look at the NIV and other modern versions and it says are being saved, and I look at the history of the translational tradition that the King James Bible was in, according to the rules given to the translators and other things, and I see now the New King James saying are being saved, I just can't advocate for the New King James Bible, and I don't, and somebody should not take the short segment that was played here in this video where I said that and therefore assume that that's where I'm at. And so I am making this video to try to clear that up. The other thing I would say is when I look at the New King James, I find in the New King James, so this is a fourth reason now, I gave two in the last video on Galatians 2:7 and Galatians 2:16. A third reason is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And then another reason would simply be the text critical notes that are in the New King James. If the New King James is truly a translation of the Textus Receptus, then why do they include text critical notes that would provide the critical readings of the critical text into the New King James? And I do have a problem with that. So the New King James is more than just a modern update of the King James, or simply just a fresh fresh translation. It's not simply an update or revision. It's a fresh translation that makes translational choices that don't seem to be in step with what the King James translators themselves tried to do. And not only that, it also adds text critical information in there. And let me show you what I'm talking about. So here's Colossians 1:14 in the King James, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, hopefully I can get this to work, but let's go to that verse in the New King James, and I will show you what I'm talking about. So here we are, make this bigger. Okay. Now notice in whom we have redemption through his blood, footnote. Notice that they're noting that the Nestle-Lon United Bible Society text omit through his blood. So that's a critical reading. So the New King James is not simply stating what the traditional text said. It is also offering critical text readings in the footnotes. Let's go to another one just to give you another example. Let's go to Mark 1:2. Go to Mark 1:2. Show you one more here. So notice, as it is written in the prophets. Prophets, plural, is the traditional reading. So that's the TR reading, all right? So if you go to the King James, it'll say in the prophets. If you go to modern version, it'll say as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. And then there's two quotes here, one from Isaiah, one from Malachi. And then we have all sorts of reasons given as to why that's not a problem. All right. Even though one of the verses that's being quoted by Mark isn't from Isaiah. All right. But notice in the New King James, there's a footnote here, and they note that the Nestle-Lon United Bible Society text read Isaiah the prophet. So that is a critical text reading that has now been, the footnoting in the New King James Bible is calling into question some of this. And if you don't want to view it as calling into question, even if you just want to view it as notifying people of textual variance, is doing it in a way that is consistent with how other modern versions do it, and is and could create doubt in the mind of people as to what a reading should be. Okay, now I'm going to stop there because that is the extent of my familiarity with the New King James. So like I've said, I haven't read it. I haven't studied it. I don't look at it. In the few times that I have done those things, I have noticed the kinds of things that I have talked about here, not only in this video, but also in the previous one, that I'm like, no, I don't think these are wise decisions, and therefore I question strongly whether or not the New King James is what it is purporting to be. And so I don't use it, I don't advocate for it, and I think there are problems with it. That's my opinion, okay? Now, again, I don't have any ill will towards Brother Green. I was a guest on his show. I answered the question, trying to be polite, etc., to what I know his position to be. And if some people saw that and they thought that that meant that I was okay with the New King James, the nature of this video is designed to try to correct that. In the few areas where I have looked at it, I have observed things that tell me I'm not okay with it. So I don't know how much more clear I can be on this. So I hope that folks will have the charity to accept my answer for what it is. And I'm going to move on. And you can go to my website, gracelifebiblechurch.com, our church's website, and you can see hours upon hours upon hours of teaching over the last 17 years. And you will never find me reading from, quoting from, using a New King James. And so I make this video to just sort of state publicly, you know, sort of where I'm at with that issue and why I'm at where I'm at on some of these things. So before you leave, I want to remind you here about a couple things. First of all, the book, the sale on the book. This ends after Easter. Don't pass over Easter. Please consider picking up a copy of that at the discounted price from before the end of the week when that sale ends, okay? And I also want to remind you about our rebroadcasting here of my class From This Generation Forever, my study on the inspiration, preservation, translation, transmission of the Word of God. We just did lesson 200. We're currently dissecting the preface and offering a proper perspective on the preface, but we're rebroadcasting the older lessons here on this channel every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 9 o'clock as a way of porting or migrating that information off of somebody else's website who used to go to our church, who used to take care of these things for me. So please be aware of that. You can pick up that class in a couple different formats. One is the playlist here. Another one is on the church's website. There's a different format that presents all the lessons on this page right here, From This Generation Forever, a study of God's promise to preserve his word. It has the most recent lesson and then works its way back. And you can navigate through that here using these navigation buttons at the bottom. So we've tried to create a lot of content here explaining where we're at on some of these things. And like I said earlier in this video, talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation is in the preaching of the cross. The most important question that you will ever answer in your entire life is related to your salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, shed his blood there on that cross in total complete payment of your sin. He was buried to prove that he died. He rose again from the dead, the victor over sin and death 3 days later. And when you place your faith into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and rely and trust exclusively on what he did for you on the cross, he'll give you eternal life as a free gift. He will save you. He will save you from your sins. He will take you out from under the power of darkness, according to Colossians chapter 1, and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son. He'll make you a member of the church, the body of Christ. He'll put his spirit in you, seal you under the day of redemption, giving you eternal life as a free gift. Could there be a better deal than that? Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.